But you take risk. You know, you're like a Brett Favre. You swing the ball around. Right. Sometimes they're going to get intercepted. Yeah. But,
and I've committed massive fraud lately, so.
Oh.
Hello and welcome to WNC Original Music, episode 181, the Eucharist episode. This week, very happy to have part two of the episodes with Couldn't Be Happiers, or the Couldn't Be Happiers. It's hard to tell, really. They are a married songwriting alt-country Americana duo from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They are comprised of Jordan Crosby Lee on guitar and vocals, and Jody Hildebrand Lee on drums, harmonica, and vocals. Their album Songs for Butchie is out now in three volumes, named in honor of Jordan's late father, John Lee, who passed away in 2020. You can find them at couldn'tbehappiers.com. See, it doesn't say the, so you understand my confusion. So www.couldn'tbehappiers.com. Had a great time talking to these guys. They're a lot of fun. They're also attorneys. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but, you know, maybe hire them for whatever kind of attorney-ing they do. Here are Could It Be Happiers.
In Texas. I always felt I first visited Wake Forest University when I was 18, and I had a choice between two schools, and that was Vanderbilt and Wake Forest. And my dad had gone to Vanderbilt, and I went to Nashville, and I liked Nashville. I thought it was cool. And then I went to Winston-Salem to visit Wake Forest, and it was weird, man. As soon as I got off the plane, I felt like I was born in the wrong place. Like I was supposed to have been from Western North Carolina. So, I wrote that song one night when I was at home over Christmas break and ready to get back to North Carolina. In fact, Buddy and I were playing poker and we got accused of cheating at the game. So we were in a hurry to get out of town. So he drove with me back to North Carolina.
You drove back?
Yeah.
That night?
Yeah, that night.
Oh, my
Yeah, and got, I got a plane ride back home after that. But
oh man,
yeah. So it's just about
you guys are learning a lot about Texas each other tonight, aren't you?
I know. Yeah, we are.
Well, half these stories are probably made up. I just don't remember.
You've been telling them so long, you don't know if they're true or not.
My dad's perfectly fine. We just got off the phone.
Oh my god.
That's a hard one to come back from.
It's so wrong.
Yeah. No, I do lie about some of these stories and I do forget which are the truth.
You embellish, that's what you right.
Workshop.
Yeah, I lie.
Workshop the story.
Yeah. Just like a comedian, right? It's okay. Yeah. It's not
so
lying
you went to Winston-Salem. You went to Wake Forest. You went to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We both went to Wake Forest for law school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Wake Forest for undergrad. One of the things I hate about that song is it's everybody's favorite song. It was like I wrote that song when I was like 19.
Uh-huh. And Restless.
And in Texas.
Yeah.
And it's the one everybody wants to hear. And it's like, well, what do you do after, you know, I've been writing for another 20 years, but everybody wants to hear that fucking
song.
That's
okay. You know, you can't be one of those people that's like, oh, like Britney Spears, if she doesn't like Hit Me Baby, you know, you got to like the song that made you famous one day when we become famous.
Which was in fact Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Exactly.
Actually how I got my start.
Yeah.
Do you guys have, do you happen to have some
sex?
Paper.
What?
Not right now.
Yes.
But
right. Have,
wait, let me hit screen record again. Okay. This is.
Wait.
Go ahead.
All right. So I want you to pick, without looking at each other's paper, I want you to say your genre and do like a three subgenre. So you might say post-punk folk. Ska or something like that, you know. So you got to pick three genres. You got to pronounce it correctly.
What if the sub order when you actually say it comes first as an adjective?
Oh yeah, that's okay. Fine. Yeah, yeah. I haven't thought about it that far. Three. I like you're going to town on it.
I'm good.
Well, are you only able to keep three? It at three? Is that it?
Yeah, you can do more. You can do more if you want to.
You got. He said three.
I know, but I wrote down four.
Okay, well, that's you're just a rule breaker.
So I lose the game.
Play fast and loose.
I'm sorry.
One of the genres is rule breaker music.
Yep, that's okay. That is a song.
All right,
actually,
now say them. Get ready to say them simultaneously. Okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
Are you gonna
progressive indie Americana?
All country. Keep going.
Progressive indie Americana.
Cowpunk.
Oh, cowpunk.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right, now say them individually so people can understand.
Okay. Progressive indie Americana.
Is that one thing?
That's Jody, do you not understand this assignment?
Oh, but you wrote them down. So is progressive a genre?
Yeah. He said write down the genre, and the genre is Americana. And then he said, what are the subgenres?
Oh, I didn't get that. I didn't listen
very
well.
Am I wrong?
I didn't explain it very well, but both ways are right. There's no wrong
answers.
We're
both right. So I wrote down indie folk, alt country,
wrong,
Americana, and then cowpunk.
Yeah,
those are the three.
I thought that was funny. When I said no wrong answers, and then you said wrong, I said wrong. Yeah,
so wrong.
That's right.
Also, kind of rock somewhere in there, but I forgot.
I like the cowpunk. Also, I feel like I was going to say there's a offset of folk called Gonzo folk. Have you guys ever heard that?
Well, I know the Lost Gonzo band, Jerry Jeff Walker's band, was the Lost Gonzo band.
No, Gonzo. Yeah.
There's a band, the main band I know that is called Megafon. They are loosely associated with Bon Iver. Actually, they're people who used to be in a band with, what's his name, for Bon Iver.
Oh.
Which is called...
Is it
what was the band they were in Raleigh? I forget. Anyway. Yeah, but it's kind of like folk, but you kind of like infuse so many other parts. And it's high energy, which you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Gonzo folk? Is that what you called folk. It?
Yeah.
Gonzo folk. Okay, now we have a new genre we can add. That's super cool.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that.
But, I mean, don't have to accept other people's labels on, you know.
But I like that one
because
also I like the Muppet Babies, and Gonzo was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Well, you might like the genre Muppet Baby folk then. That's a
I do. A I do. Yeah. I've heard of that one. Mm. Gonzo folk is like a sub genre.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem about your humor is that there's a lot of misses, but when it lands good.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But you take risk. You know, you're like a Brett Favre. You swing the ball around.
Right.
Sometimes they're gonna get intercepted, but
And I've committed massive fraud lately, so
oh, God, that was
and I was in something about Mary.
Where are you? Where are you?
He's in Western North Carolina.
Oh, where?
That's all you need to know. Western. Oh,
okay. Don't dox yourself.
Yeah. I'm at 303.
Once upon a time, tobacco built this town. Litigation knocked it down a notch or two. We got a high rise, it's filling up again. It's been half abandoned since the banks withdrew. Down on Trade Street was our favorite breakfast spot. Now it's a Cuban restaurant we like to say. In the past 10 years we've had a rock and roll club just not at once, but the crowd don't change. Don't take me out to sea when there's nothing left of me but ash and dust. Spread me around the mid-sized city.
Mid-Size City, there are no songs about mid-size cities. There's songs about big towns and small cities, but there's no songs about the mid-size
city.
Okay,
can I tell you something?
What?
That I've never told you before.
You know one?
After we released our song, I was searching for it on Spotify, and another mid-size city came up.
Well,
they're probably
racist, so, you know.
I didn't want to tell you.
So...
I think the song you're thinking about is Mid-Sized City for the Jews.
Yeah. Yeah. That is right, those bastards.
Yeah.
Not the Jews, the people who wrote the song. Yeah.
I know.
I'm pro-Jewish.
Okay.
I'm anti-Nazi.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that could have gone either way. I'm glad you came down on the right side.
I know.
God. Listen. Listen, everybody knows our position when people got on our page and said, well, now we're not coming to see you at the state fair.
I know.
All because I have the audacity to say love is love and that, you know, boys can marry boys if they want.
I know. That was a bold statement, Jordan.
And they were like, we were going to come see you at the fair, but now we're not. And I know they sounded just like that, too. Like Jody,
even though
like Jody's people.
No, it was a comment on Facebook.
People.
Hey, her folk, speaking of my people, my folk, bringing it back to the song.
Mid-sized city, you mean?
Yes, yes. I'm from a small town, and Jordan was from Dallas, which was like a, you know, huge metropolitan area. Mm. And so, for me, it was Winston-Salem was perfect because you have everything you need. You don't have the ridiculous traffic that you have in, like, Charlotte, for example. Mm-hmm. I've lost count of how many cities and or people we've insulted in this podcast, by the way.
I'll replace you.
I'm not apologizing.
It's only we've only insulted fascist conservatives,
and
Trump
now
supporters.
Charlotte.
And now Charlotte's a hellhole. We got trapped in a parking garage there once.
Oh my God, that was the.
And so we were trapped, and I was like, "Well, we got to get out of this.
This is where we live now."
We had Jordan's mom with us. She had come up from San Antonio, and we went to go see the Van Gogh thing. It was down in Charlotte. And
which side note, I did find a hilarious TikTok where they're at the Van Gogh exhibit, and they said,
"I paid $50 to watch a screensaver."
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still wondering how we got duped to pay $55 to watch Van Gogh screensaver. Right. So good. And it was like spot on.
Well,
although we actually quite liked it.
We did
but
enjoy
it. Was
it.
Very, that
but
was
yeah,
so
it's very
good.
Screensaver-y.
I like my painters that have two ears, but I mean, that's me.
Yeah.
I know. That's ableist.
Don't be ableist.
That's
Mother
ableist.
Ableist.
Is it? Is it ableist?
Yeah. Let's get his address.
Not having an ear. Is not having an ear a disability?
I don't know.
He still had the auditory canal. It wasn't like he couldn't hear.
He could still hear.
He couldn't echo locate, but he couldn't tell who was in front and behind him, you know. That's what the folds.
You talk about this like you know.
That's why dogs have so many has the little extra folds.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyways. And then we parked in a parking garage, and then we go get in the parking garage. My mom and Jody are in the car and I'm driving out and we're like stuck there. And it's like 45 minutes.
Three or four cars ahead of us. And the arm is just broken. Like you can't pay. You can't get out. There's no way to get out.
Did you try?
So I learned. I did.
Well, he got out after we sat there forever. Okay. We sat there forever.
And so one car goes and then the other car that's in front of us and was behind the first car didn't have a driver in it because the driver went looking for the parking garage attendant like a little snitch. And
so we were stuck.
So Jody climbs over from the passenger side into the driver's side to like drive the getaway car, you know? And this guy who's like 6'8" comes ripping out of his little, but he's like, "Who touched the arm? Who touched the arm?" He's like screaming. I'm like, "I'm going to die."
I know. We were like, "Oh shit."
And
he was
like,
so mad.
He's like, "Now you owe $500. I was like, $500?
You didn't tear it off, did you?
Literally, like, no one.
No, we were stuck behind the car.
I mean, there was like one or two cars that got out. And I guess he was saying that we had to pay for all the cars that got out because he lifted the arm. But I mean, clearly only two cars had gotten out.
No, it was just one. And the second car, the driver had gotten out. And so
I think the penalty for kidnapping people, which is what he was doing, is higher than the penalty for letting people out of
exactly.
Yeah, it's actually it's false imprisonment.
False imprisonment.
You guys were lawyers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but I knew. But here's the thing: if I had put up a fight, that dude would have called the cops, and they would have like. I mean, you'd win that suit eventually, but at what cost?
Yeah, we were like, "Oh, it's not worth it."
And my mom sitting back there, my mom's like, "Ah, this is fun."
Yeah,
like,
I know she's all excited.
Instigator.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Anyways, Charlotte's garbage
because of that one. Because of that one incident.
Yeah,
poor guy.
We're never gonna get a gig in Charlotte again. By the way,
I'm sending this.
Nobody ever listens when you. You're not listening.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the favor.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
Dear Charlotte, we would like to play.
So the boomer bust. So the line is, spread my ashes around a mid-sized city. Spread my ashes around a city. What is it? What's my song? Our song.
Don't take me out to sea.
Don't take me out to sea.
When there's nothing left of me.
But ash and dust.
But ash and dust. Spread me around
a mid-sized city. Hanging on the edge of boomer bust. So every year, as long as I've known about Winston-Salem, the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal publishes some list of top 10 cities on the edge of boom or bust. Mm-hmm. And Winston-Salem's on it every year. It neither booms nor busts. It just keeps making that fucking list.
Yeah.
And
they're like, 1 year, we'll get it right.
And right when we released the song,
the list came out.
Some other list came out and Winston-Salem was on. Now, it wasn't one of the bigger publications, but it was pretty funny.
So it was boom or bust monthly.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got a good chance once a month being on that list.
I mean, they got to keep making those lists, so you're going to get on one day.
They're going to run out of mid-sized cities eventually.
They'll be like, oh, damn it, boomed last week. Oh, damn, we can't use that.
God, it's not a mid-size anymore. Yeah.
That's my favorite song on the album and probably my favorite song that we've ever written. Yeah, I love it so much.
I love that song.
I love Winston, so it works for me in a lot of levels.
What are some of your favorite movies?
That's so tough because I watch a lot of good series.
Baby, I'm so sorry. Is it Robert Ron?
Ron.
Ron, got it.
You're gonna have to cut.
I was too busy making a joke last time that I didn't commit it to memory. But
He
said he was going to hang up on us if you messed it up again.
But I didn't. That's why I asked.
My hang up button's way over here.
But this is easy. It's Ron because he's masculine. He's a good looking masculine guy, which is like Ron Swanson.
Yes. Ron Swanson?
So there's my.
That's exactly it.
That's right.
What movie do you like?
What's my favorite movie?
Mine is probably, it's got to be Almost Famous, right? Yeah, I think Almost Famous or Beast of the Southern Wild.
Oh, I love that movie too.
It's based on a play.
I'm going to tell you one and I'm going to be embarrassed to say it, but I want to explain it. Okay. I love Mean Girls. The reason I love Mean Girls.
That's a great movie. There's nothing wrong with that movie.
But I have this association with it because whenever I was studying for finals, you're like depriving yourself of all the fun stuff and you're studying so hard. And it was undergrad and law school. Once I finished all my finals, I would just go back to my room after the last one and put on Mean Girls because I had that DVD. I didn't have any other DVDs. And so I would watch that movie and it was like the feeling of this relief that everything was done. And the semester was over, and whatever happened. And so that was it. That's why I love Mean Girls. Plus, I love Tina Fey.
Yeah, that's a great movie. It's like the Tina Fey movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the only Lindsay Lohan movie that's tolerable. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never, she's so into.
Never heard of Parent Trap?
Are there other movies? What are the other movies?
Parent Trap?
Besides that?
I mean,
are there others? I'm serious.
No, I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Parent Trap. Yeah. That's it. You're going to get angry comments from Lindsay Lohan fans.
What's a movie that one of you likes and the other one really hates?
Oh.
Probably Parent Trap, I guess.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably Mean Girls.
Well, let's talk about series. That'd be better. Nobody watches movies anymore.
Oh. But we don't have any that we.
Yeah, you don't like Atlanta.
I don't dislike it.
That's racist.
I never. But I never. He already started it, and I didn't understand what was going on or the.
Oh, the series. I thought you were talking about.
I
thought you were crapping on another town. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, no.
We don't want to play Atlanta either.
I'd love to play Atlanta.
Yeah, I know, that'd be awesome.
I love black people.
When you do play it, don't say that. And also call it Hotlanta a lot. They love that. When you do that.
They do. Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
Hotlanta.
Yeah. Hotlanta. The last time I went to Atlanta, I don't know if this is a tangent. When I was in college, everyone was like, oh, you should try out for American Idol, blah, blah, blah. The first season had just gotten released. And so I was like, yeah, okay, I'm in college. I'm going to go do something. And so we were going to go down to Atlanta. And I had no idea what I was getting into, but we went down to Atlanta and there was like people camped out like 4 or 5 blocks away. This was the day before auditions. And so I like went out and like bought a lawn chair and slept on the sidewalk. This is why everyone sounds like shit, by the way, when you go in for your for your audition. And like obviously I didn't make it because I'm not famous, but it was a pretty crazy experience. I think I signed a contract, so I can't tell anybody anything more than that, but it was like it was just bizarre. So that was that's the last time I went to Atlanta.
Wait a minute. You're a lawyer. You signed a contract, but what is the consideration? Like, don't you have to have you sign a contract. You can't say, or something will happen to you.
I think I probably signed something that like said I wouldn't, like a non-disparagement thing in order for me to be able to like audition or something. Not that I would disparage them, but like it was just, the whole thing was so weird because it's not at all like what you see on television.
You told me that it made you take your clothes off.
Jordan, that was,
I think, having someone sign a non-disparagement clause is just acknowledging anything they would say about you is probably true.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah.
Because otherwise it would just be defamation. You know, you just
exactly. That's right.
You can't say true things about us. You don't need a contract.
If it sounds bad.
Yeah, you don't need a contract to say you can't say wrong things and bad things about us. You need a contract to say you can't tell the truth. Yeah, exactly.
Did you go to law school? Is that why you know about consideration?
I went to the law school of the streets, baby. Yeah. All right, more from the Couldn't Be Happiers in just a few moments. I want to remind you that you can find their music at couldn'tbehappiers.com. Also, don't forget to check all the streaming sites. Just search Couldn't Be Happiers. You could search the Couldn't Be Happiers. I mean, it's just, I don't know if you want to be that specific. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, WNC Original Music, wherever you get your podcasts. This is the second of 3 episodes featuring the Couldn't Be Happier, so make sure to go back and listen to their first episode. You're listening to this one right now. You're halfway through the second episode, so you're really halfway through the whole thing. So congratulations on the midpoint of your journey.
Where there are no plans or promises.
Hello, my name is Jackson Harden, and my new EP, Dakota Blue Moon, is available now wherever you listen to music. To learn more, you can visit www.jacksonharden.com. That's JacksonHarden.com. Thanks for listening.
Corrections and clarifications from last week's episode with Fancy and the Gentleman. Bing Crosby was a singer and actor from the 40s and 50s and beyond. And Bill Cosby, So we were both right.
Hi, this is Noelle.
All right, this is Houston.
And I'm Mary.
From Salty Ray. And you're listening to WNC Original Music.
It's July. Of the gallows creak beneath her feet. Frankie splits into the crowd. She can make out every face. They remind her of the folks who gathered on her wedding day. Standing in her best dress and Charlie dressed in black. The priest asked them, how long will this love last? Will you take it to the grave? Health, and when our times come your way.
she'll take you to the grave. Take you to the grave. Now it ain't just you, there's another I have to say. She'll take you to the grave. Take you to the grave. Oh, it ain't just you, there's another I have to say. Oh, we'll take you to the grave. Well, Charlie went out hunting and he never came back home. So they tell the town that he ran off, left Frankie all alone. But that action bone in her heart has a different story to tell. The blood under the floorboards sent Frankie off to jail. The trial was swift, the judge all dressed in black. A jury of his peers said she'd hang for her evil act. Now go.
This was actually a song where we got into a lot of fights. The biggest fights we get into are over songwriting, always.
Like, which is funny because it's about a wife murdering her husband. So I should probably have learned my lesson.
Allegedly. Yeah. That's right. And you've probably heard the story of Frankie Silver.
Pretty sure the judgment was rendered. She was hanged.
That does not mean she was guilty. So in the 1830s.
It doesn't help.
I know it doesn't help. Doesn't look good. Frankie Silver, she's about 18 years old, and she was one of the first recorded instances that we have of a woman being hanged in North Carolina. And, of course, that was in Burke County, where I grew up.
And the reason we say one of the first is because, without a doubt, like whenever people say historically the first woman hanged, what they mean is the first white woman hanged.
Yes, right. There were clearly
like black women throughout North Carolina who had been probably hanged and even not memorialized.
Right.
So we're very careful always to acknowledge that what they mean is we say one of the first without going into our rant about how history, you know, makes the death of the first white woman historical, right?
Mm-hmm.
While erasing the lynchings of black women. Nonetheless.
And so even white women, white women could have been killed before then. And, you know, even women's rights in general are so terrible and terrible back then that she might not even been the first white woman.
Oh, sure. There was lots of domestic violence where women were murdered brutally and
by their husbands
and probably found in fireplaces and the men didn't get hanged. So,
but she was legally hanged. Like she was found guilty.
She was actually tried by an all male jury. Of course, she was not allowed to testify. By all accounts, she was small, slight, you know, like 90 pounds. A lot of people thought that her husband, Charlie, was a drunk and maybe abusive to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a, she just had a baby, Nancy. And of course we reference that in the song. and the Silvers had money. Frankie's family, I think the Stewarts did not. They were kind of poor. And a lot of people believe that her mom and dad and brother sort of helped Frankie with whatever happened with to Charlie, because they just don't believe that she could have done that herself, being, you know, the slight woman that she was. but I had always heard the story that, you know, Frankie, as she was standing there on the gallows getting ready to be hanged, the executioner asked her if she had any last words, and that she had stepped up as if she was going to say something. And then the story I heard was that her dad yelled out from the audience, "Die with it in you, Frankie, take it to your grave." You know, like, don't give him the satisfaction. Don't tell him what happened. Or conversely, maybe like, save your family, or, you know, like, don't implicate everybody else. I don't really know. But there's so many different versions of what actually happened. But, you know, I told Jordan that story and he was like, "That's a song. We got to write that song." And the,
No. That's not what happened. You told me that story in months or years.
Yeah, of course.
And but... songs come at the weirdest times, but I was in the shower in Paris.
Yeah.
And I was like, we should use the refrain, "Take it to the grave," and change the chorus each time.
And I had written a song about Frankie Silver years ago that was not very good. And it was completely different from that. You had already heard the not good version of a song that I had written when I first started learning to play guitar. but yeah, we decided to write that song and try to tell her side of the story, because the famous song, mm-hmm. The Ballad of Frankie Silver, just is like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I killed my husband. I'm a terrible wife, blah, blah, blah." And it's like, I don't know. I don't really feel like that's how Frankie would have gone down. Right. So,
we needed to represent.
She's a badass, clearly. Whatever happened, she went up to the gal. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but like, her brother and her dad busted her out of jail. They busted her out of jail and dressed her like a boy. And I think they almost got away, but they got caught. Pulled over, is that possible in the 1830s on a wagon or whatever? They were out looking for
when you're gonna do air quotes, you need to get a little closer to the microphone
so the mic can hear the air quotes.
You hear the wind,
And I think she was in like Rutherford or something like that, so they found her and they took her back to jail, and then, you know, she did get hanged. But women in that area all like signed petitions to the governor to try to get her pardoned. But again, the Stewarts didn't have money and Silvers did. And of course, Charlie's family wanted what they perceived to be justice. And the governor just never happened to find the letter with all the women that had petitioned. It was until it was too late, of course. And then he was like, "Oh, drat, so sorry. I would have issued a pardon, but I just got lost on my desk."
Only we had telephones, I could call them, but, you know.
I know, yeah, man. We just don't know. So that's the story of Frankie Silver. And
Jordan, what are you doing? Fun.
He is a doodler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you drawing. Hey, look, I'm doodling.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You guys are eerily similar. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about this.
That's how I concentrate.
but yeah, we did get into some fights over that song because Jordan wanted to, like, Jordan has this tendency to want to make a song 6 minutes long and tell like the whole story. And I'm like, if a song is longer than 3 minutes, he lost me. Mm-hmm. we compromised. I think that was like 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
But
anyway,
which of you is the better cook?
Me.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't cook.
Jordan. Well, hey, you've tried. You make mac and cheese from a box.
Yeah. I'm mixing that little, the cheese dust.
The cheese dust. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's delicious. Mm.
Yeah.
You don't get the fancy squeeze tube.
I do that too.
No, we don't.
The cheese
caulk. We got student loans to pay. We can't afford the fancy cheese.
Right. Jody, what's something you make that's real good, cooking-wise, that you can send to me in the mail? Peanut butter flavored is good.
Okay, I have heard that I do have really good peanut butter cookies.
Really?
So, they're so, yeah. I used to have a guy at work, and he retired, but, like, he always loved my peanut butter cookies. Whenever I would, even if I made some just for us at home, mm-hmm. I would take a bunch and put them in a Ziploc and bring them to him at work. Because I was like, I felt guilty making peanut butter cookies and not bringing him some.
I'm kind of a peanut butter cookie connoisseur, and just last week, someone gave me some peanut butter cookies that were the best peanut butter cookies I've ever had out of hundreds of different kinds. So, I mean, if you want to send some over, you have to.
I mean,
it costs a lot to send stuff in the mail like that, but
you never know.
If you want to get on the podcast, that's a good way to. Oh, you're wait a minute. Never mind.
We might. See, now you're going to have to actually announce your address, like right on the podcast, so people can find you.
Well, I. Wait, so people can find me? Oh, to send me cookies?
That's to send you cookies. Yes. I don't know if I would eat them all if I were you.
Right.
Based on the things we've talked about, I wouldn't accept those cookies.
I wouldn't accept those cookies either.
Snuff out the fire. Zip up the tent when midnight hits. It'll be May the 10th, 10 hours from then. His baby girl is gonna be getting married. He won't be there to give her away. He'll be hiking through the forest somewhere in Del Norte, searching for something. Even if he finds, they may not ever believe. So why keep on trudging along from Pierce, Washington to Coos Bay, Oregon? Hasn't been shaven, he might get mistaken for the creature that he seeks. Cast that footprint, it might be the real deal. Back that hair sample, see what the DNA reveals. Write your daughter, tell her congratulations, and you'll see her again. Signed, Gonsquatin. Once upon a time, he had a career and a wife in SUV and a baby of a year. He was moving up, but the feeling in his gut said he was sinking fast. Late one night on cable TV, he saw a documentary on cryptozoology. He felt the rush, he caught the bug, and he left and he never looked back. Cast a footprint, it might be the real deal. Sample, see what the DNA reveals. Write your daughter, tell her congratulations, and you'll see her again. Signed, Gonsquatin.
And every now and then he thinks of going home again, but for now,
cast a footprint.
Sometimes at night it feels too much to bear. It'll all be worth it one day, he swears, when he's on the Discovery Channel for making primatology history.
Hey.
Yay.
I wrote that song in law school. I would kind of veg out when I was done with exams by watching Finding Bigfoot on the Discovery Channel. And I love that show. And I've always been fascinated with what makes people fascinated with Bigfoot. less fascinated in Bigfoot, more fascinated in what makes people fascinated in Bigfoot. But what you'll learn about that is that's a very fine line in a slippery slope. I actually wrote that song as a sad song about a guy who gives up his life and his career to be a Sasquatch hunter, Bigfoot finder. And I played it and everybody laughed. So now it's a funny song.
Because art is whatever the audience says it is, right?
Yep.
Right.
But I just thought somebody getting obsessed with something like that is actually kind of a real story and kind of giving up their life as they know it. And so I wanted to tell that story and people thought I was kidding. So,
well, Ron's from Squatchy territory out there in Asheville. Yeah, he's probably seen Bigfoot.
Several. Yes. They're mostly downtown, especially with the performative beard crowd that, you know, hangs down.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Is it so harmless, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not.
Is it if you give up your life and family to go?
And if you get mad at other people that,
who don't
believe. Yeah.
Jody, I don't know if you know this, but it's a metaphor.
Oh.
But it's not the flat earthers where they're actually like, you know, saying no to science. Instead, they're like, oh, we just have to keep searching for the evidence. And
they're saying yes to pseudoscience.
No, they're saying science, they're waiting for the real science.
Right.
The real.
They all admit, I've seen it, but that's why they're out there. Is they're trying to find the real science.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I feel defensive.
Of Sasquatch hunters.
I don't know why, but I do. You know.
But you don't actually believe in Sasquatch yourself, do you?
No, I don't. No.
You do.
I will say.
I really don't. No. I really don't. I really don't. I really don't.
It doesn't matter.
Too many people with cell phones nowadays. Where,
somebody would have called a Bigfoot photo. A real one.
And like also these Bigfoot hunters are like crazy, man. They'll get drones with, you know, heat sensing technology and fly all over the Pacific Northwest. They haven't found any. Like, you know, if you're not finding anything that way, like I understand how in like 1960 with the original, I think it's called the Patterson Gimlet film of like the original big, like how you might buy into that.
Pacific the guy Northwest. Walking with the,
yeah. Well, it's actually a female Sasquatch, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's a guy in a suit.
You could tell by the teats,
right?
And then it's a female. Sentence.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That all makes sense. What you say about the drones and stuff until you think about how the government is involved. You didn't think about that.
Yeah.
And of course they can keep it hidden. Just like on the $6 million man, when the UFOs brought Sasquatch down and he was a robot and that's how he stayed hidden in the side of the mountain. Did you ever hear about that?
No.
That was the episode of the $6 Million Man when, you know, in the 70s, there was the Sasquatch craze. So, of course, he was on the $6 Million Man. He was a robot.
Of course he was.
Yeah. I'm surprised you don't know about it. You know.
He could have been the real thing.
And I also want to know, I do think there are people out there who truly believe they've seen it, too. And I want to know what's going on with those people.
Oh, yeah.
Although I saw this video of this bear that was, like, walking around on 2 feet. They said it probably, like, got hit by a car and got injured. And over time, it healed, but it was walking on 2 legs. It looked crazy. If I saw something like that, I'd probably be convinced, too.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know. I like people who believe in stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny. We're not believers, right? And, God. And, but Jody is, I'm very defensive of religious people still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know why. I feel offended when people make fun of believers and I'm not, but I don't know.
Well, you're a raised Catholic. I feel like that's a natural.
It might be a defense of my mother. And that may be what it is too, but I like people who believe in stuff. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you,
I can be sad.
I've seen this from just working in healthcare that from living in the world, I know that religious people are some of the worst people in the world. But from working in healthcare, I can tell you that religious people are some of the best people in the world. Because if I go and work with someone and they are an active member of a church, they don't have to worry about their food or getting transportation to hospital and doctor's appointments. Their church is in there doing for that. And there's not something similar in the secular community that is that strong and dependable. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
You would hope the government would be, but it's not. So,
Well, some of the government tries to be. It
right.
tends to be this.
What's the religious Catholic people religion. That stop it from
happening? Yeah. The religious people that stop it!
Hell no.
That's hilarious.
We're not going to pay for transport for poor people because maybe they could go to church, you know, maybe their church will
and then get that themselves. That's yeah. right.
I'll cut all that out.
anyway. I am wondering what you're going to be able to keep.
I know. What's he going to be able to piece oh, together? Yeah.
I'm
going to
keep everything you guys
right?
say and just cut out what I say. What's a song that you listen to even today that gives you an emotional reaction? You didn't have to listen to it today. I mean, like, you know, if you were to listen to it today.
Mine is Ghosts of Virginia by Justin Townes Earl. Yeah. It's about a ghost train that, you know, Jody and I like the North Carolina folklore stuff. Mm-hmm. And this song is sort of, it was on Justin Townes Earl's first EP, Yuma. And it's called The Ghost of Virginia. And it's about it's about a ghost train that where, you know, he kind of, it's an amalgamation of all the ghost train stories. And the line that gets me is he says, "Some say she wrecked and she rides these rails, hoping one day that she'll get it right. Others say she roams out, picking up lost souls and carrying them down to Caroline." And I always felt like, you know, if I die and I'm lost, I hope a ghost train picks me up to bring me down to Carolina. I don't know. It's always powerful. It's funny that you say that because it has something to do with believing again. And yeah. I don't know. Interesting.
A song that I love, and it's a Mariah Carey song, and I cannot remember the name of it. It's a duet, and it's about a loved one who's died. And I'm just completely blanking on the name, but like, I just always loved that song. And every time I hear it, it just makes me think of my great grandma. Cause I was always kind of close to her, and
she loved Mariah Carey.
She didn't care about Mariah Carey at all. I'm gonna like find the name.
We called her Grandma Mariah.
Grandma Mariah. One Sweet Day with Boyz II Men. That's it. One Sweet Day. Sorry, that's one of our dogs shaking right. in the background. But yeah, I always love that song, and it makes me think of her. See him down here.
Aw. Hey, buddy.
Hi, baby. He's like, "You're not giving me attention, yeah. so give it to me." How dare you? He's okay now.
Big thanks to the Couldn't Be Happiers for being on the podcast. I'm talking low because I have strained my voice. Write in and let me know if you prefer this. I don't. So you can find the Couldn't Be Happiers at couldn'tbehappiers.com. Also, I'm 100% sure if you Google Couldn't Be Happier, they'll show up there somewhere. Also, find them on all the streaming services. A lot of good stuff there. And also, check out some of their upcoming shows at couldn'tbehappier.com. Also, surprise me by subscribing to the podcast at wncoriginalmusic.com or by searching WNC Original Music wherever you get your podcasts. When I decided, because it's my choice, that Couldn't Be Happier we're going to be on the podcast this week, I reached out to great friends of theirs from the great band, a duo, Brown Mountain Lightning Bugs, to supply the closing track. Because I always think that's fun for some reason when friends are on the show together. And they were nice enough to supply a track, or surprise me by supplying a track. You can find them at brownmountainlightningbugs.com. This is their song, 729. I've been watching too much Star Trek. 729. Here's the Brown Mountain Lightning Bugs. Have a good week.
down the sunrise, come chase away. Seven to nine, tens come round. I'm looking for the light. Let the darkness take me if it might. Take me if it might. That chart on the wall, well, it surely can't be mine. I think I've gotten how to count numbers less than five. Under fluorescent lights, watch one drip at a time. And I think I like your poison better than mine. Like it better than mine.
This should be a new game I'll play. I'm going to guess how many AAA batteries are in your house.
Yeah,